heaven. You are the one that has set us apart. You've made us your own, and you have blessed us with an abundant and full life. Life is a gift. And so we come now, God, in this worship, realizing that all the failures we may feel and all the losses that we may have experienced, that God, you have been there and you have not abandoned us or separated from us. And so, Lord, you embraced us in life because you became life with us. So bless the words we speak now and share, and that your Spirit, God, would work through your scriptures to touch our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. For the last couple of weeks, we've been doing with this series called Blessings, and you'll remember the first blessing I talked about a couple of weeks ago was called the Blessings of the Church, and that the church has been set apart. You'll see in the graphic the little boat kind of hanging out there on its own, because the word blessing in its literal definition means to be set apart, to be set apart. And as I noted, blessing doesn't, that means to be set apart means the word blessing in Scripture doesn't necessarily mean it's always good. It can be bad. You've been set apart because you've done bad stuff. And we read, I pointed out Genesis chapter 49 and some of the blessings that Jacob did. They're not happy blessings. Then last week I talked about the blessings of our neighbors, that goodness, we have been blessed to be in our communities and our neighbors are a blessing, we're a blessing, we kind of live life together, that's something to be applauded. And I showed a little graph on, we live in what we call the post-Christendom world. The world doesn't care that we exist. In fact, both the church and what I noted last week is that we can feel irrelevant. I hate feeling irrelevant. You all agree with me? Hate feeling irrelevant. And yet the world out there does see us that way. It does project it that way. For this final Sunday of this series of blessings, I thought I would talk about just the blessings of life and the fullness of life. And I thought it would be really fun to spend a few minutes just looking at baby pictures. And what I did is I asked our staff here today to send us their baby pictures, and you're going to get to guess who they are. So if our staff could come up here, please. And yes, Jason, bring a microphone. And we are going, put it back, Rachel, not yet, that's giving away a secret. We'll look at it here in a moment. Yeah, let's get them up here first before we get into the raw moment of reality. All right, Bob, slide down. Remember, you got to stay in the light. Otherwise, David gets really frustrated because people live streaming want to see this as well. So what we're going to look at are our baby pictures of our staff, and I'm going to ask you to guess, and then that person will acknowledge that that is their baby picture, just so we all have the word in the beginning right away. They're all adorable. All the baby pictures are adorable, and because of that, they are adorable. And after worship, I know we got pandemic stuff, so you can wave, hit a fist. If you feel comfortable, they deserve hugs because they're all adorable. All right, let's look at the first one. Okay, let's get a guess. Who do you think it is? Jason? No. Lance? Okay, let's see who it is. Who is the baby picture? It is Lance. There's Lance. And there is the adorable baby Lance. No organ in his hands yet. Lance, what year were you born? Or not year. We talked about that in the beginning. I was not going to ask the year, and I just broke the rule. When's your birthday?
October 11th.
October 11th.
Yeah.
And where were you born?
Flint, Michigan.
Oh, Flint, Michigan.
Yeah, before, and when they had good water. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was born with shoes on.
Yeah. Give me another one, Rachel.
Oh,
give me a picture. Who do you think it is? Jason. Oh, they're saying, Dwayne said Jason. Jason? Oh, Jason, I think that's the plug for you. Is it, Jason, is it you?
That is me.
Oh, goodness. All right, Jason?
So my birthday is April 7th.
No, not yet, Rachel.
And I was born at St. Joe and Ypsilanti.
Oh, okay, and Ipsy St. Joe's. And so we are delighted to have you here. He makes sure that we're live back there. Give me another one. Who's that? They're saying it's Bob. What do you think? Allison, what do you think? She's saying it's Debbie. Brad, what do you think? It's me. Yeah, this is me. Yeah, remember, I'm on the staff. Yes, that's me, and you can see that I was of substantial health. I was born on December 4th, and I was born in Green Bay, Wisconsin, thus Packer commitment, and my dad. And of course, it's Father's Day, and he died in October, so this is kind of an emotional day for me. And let's have another one. Oh, who could this be? What do you think? Somebody said Debbie. It must be Bob. They're already singing. Yeah, who is it? Debbie or Bob, and it's
me. I know, it looks like I'm singing and directing. And go! I was born August 8th in Detroit at Crittenton Hospital. The interesting thing is, that was the old Crittenton Hospital, and my children, ironically, were born at the new Crittenton Hospital.
Isn't that something?
And our pictures are in black and white.
Oh, yeah. And our pictures are in black and white. Yeah. There is a pattern there. Yeah. And let's have the last one. And who could that be? it must be Debbie Delightful.
Now, I saved me for last because I was the only female up here, so it's funny that you guys guessed me many times. Anyhow, I was born on June 13th, and everyone already knows it's 1968 because you brought me up here many times lately. And I was born in Royal Oak, Beaumont.
Beaumont. All right. Thank you, staff. We appreciate your willingness to be transparent with your adorable baby pictures. All right. Yeah, give them a round of applause. Yeah. Now, what I do know about everyone in here is we all have a beginning. Yeah, if you're in here and you're hearing me, that means you're a human being. And if you're a human being, that means you had to be born. You're all tracking with me. What I thought I would do, celebrating life, I wanted to look at this Genesis verse, and we're going to walk through this Genesis 2 verse, and we're going to talk about the beginning of life for mankind. So what we see, we all have a time when we were born, and there's cute little baby pictures and celebrations and all that kind of thing. But what I thought I would do is take a moment and just take a look at this verse and walk through this verse, because this is the beginning of us, all of us. This is our beginning. This is the beginning of life. The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. So prior to this, that meant there was no living being called man, that this was truly a beginning. There was a time when there was not, and then there was a time when there was. And so what I want to do is break down the verse in a couple of different ways. First of all, I want you to all understand that in Scripture, when you read the Word, God's attributes are often demonstrated by the words that His name. So how His name is an attribute of God. So when you start looking at God's descriptions, they're often found in His name. So one that I know you may be familiar with, some of you, is the one called Jehovah Jireh or Yahweh Jireh. Yahweh Jireh was done in Genesis chapter 22, and it was done when Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac, and a ram was provided. And the text says that it says Yahweh Jireh, or we often say Jehovah Jireh, which means God is a provider. So there's an attribute. God is a provider. In Genesis chapter 17, what we find is that the story of Abraham, God approaches Abraham, and they're going to talk about the covenant of circumcision. And when you read Genesis 17, verse 1, it says, God Almighty. So now we have the Hebrew phrase is El Shaddai. So El Shaddai, which was an Amy Grant song back in the 80s. But El Shaddai means God Almighty. And said, so now we have another attribute of God that gives us a picture of God being the Almighty One. So God is the provider, God is the Almighty One. Now look at this Genesis 2 text, and you'll see that I highlighted it or I underlined it. And now you're going to see another attribute for God, and it's called Lord God. Now, you're going to be familiar with Lord and familiar with God, certainly. The phrase, the Hebrew phrase is Yahweh Elohim. Can you say that with me? Yahweh Elohim. Now, when you look at that attribute for God of Yahweh Elohim, we'll start with Elohim. Elohim is the generic name for God. And generic means all-powerful, almighty. When you read Genesis chapter 1, it uses the word Elohim. So if you go back and read it and it says God created, that means Elohim created. So when you get to Genesis chapter 2, we get another word that's tagged onto it, and it's Yahweh Elohim. So that must mean there's an attribute of God that's being shared with us because there's a name change between Genesis chapter 1 and then we get to Genesis chapter 2. And that name change, we see it as the adding the word Lord, which is Yahweh. Yahweh means, if you look in Scripture and you were to look at the Hebrew of it, it means God who is intimate, caring, and relational. The God who wants to be a part of your life. So when the writer of Genesis, Moses, puts this together, you'll notice that in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we have a message about the attributes of God. He's almighty, he's a provider, and now we're finding out he's intimate and relational with his people. He's called Yahweh Elohim. Yahweh Elohim. If you could bring that verse back up for me, Rachel. And so what you're going to see is then the Lord God, so now we have an intimate phrase. So the reader, when they look at this, we tend to genericize it. We just kind of make it a generic word. We go, oh Lord. But you have to understand the word Lord means to be close and intimate. The Lord of the house, the Lord of the manor, doesn't mean distant and aloof, but rather the one who cares for, the one who loves you, the one who will take care of you. And so now we see in the creation of man, we see the Lord God, and then you see the next part of it, formed the man from the dust of the ground. So he took dust, took basically dirt, he begins to shape it, and he makes it into a man. He makes it into a being, but the being lacks life. And you'll see, he formed the man from the dust of the ground, but it lacks life. And then he does this next thing. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. He breathed into the nostrils the breath of life. Breathe into the nostrils. Now, we know what a nostril is, right? It's your nose. If you're going to breathe into the nostrils, it means that you're getting right into the face of that person. Dwayne's already feeling uncomfortable. He isn't looking. I feel uncomfortable. I have now gotten into Dwayne's bubble. By the way, an American bubble is about 3 feet. You get inside that 3 feet, and some of us have 5-foot bubbles, so you just got to know people. If you're talking about breathing into the nostrils, you're talking about breathing into the nostrils? Hey, Lucy, having a good day? Yeah, glad you're sitting in the front row. Yeah, feel like I'm in your space?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you feel uncomfortable with me in your space?
No.
No, because you know me. Yeah. Yeah, if you didn't know me, then it would be uncomfortable, right? If you don't know someone, right? You have to have permission to get into someone's space, right? Notice the picture here. God gets into the nostrils of mankind. He gets right up into the face of Adam. Is that relational? You bet it's relational. Is that Yahweh Elohim? Absolutely. God is willing to get right into the face of his creation and breathe life into that being. Now, you're going to see up there the definition of that breathing. When you look at Hebrew, the raw definition of Hebrew, it means when it says he breathed life into mankind, here's the literal definition. He blew as in blowing into a furnace. He blew as in blowing into a furnace. Now, how would I, the couple of word pictures that I think of, I have made a lot of fires in my day. And if you know me, you'll know I'm a pyro. I love fires. I have a big bonfire pit in my yard. I like to make a big fire. And then we have a little woods, so back in the woods, I made a little fire pit to have little fires. Because I just think you have big fires and little fires, it's just fire. I've spent a lot of time on my knees blowing into a fire to get it to burn. Anybody else done that? Yeah, a few of us. All right, a few of us. And to get it to burn, you know, you got kindling and then you have a little bit bigger wood and you burn into it. That's not the word picture here. On your knees blowing into a fire, and then you get dizzy and you have to catch your breath for a minute. That's not that word picture. I was at a wedding a week ago at the reception, and part of the package of this wedding reception was a bonfire. So it was at we had a big barn reception, which it was a lot of fun. There was a DJ dancing. But you know, the evening went on and it got dark. I saw the management of the place building a bonfire. He had all the wood ready to go. And then men, this is a male, I'm going to generalize this. Women could like this as well. I know. Men, you would gravitate to this immediately. The man took a propane tank and a cable attached to the propane tank, like your grill, and had on the end of it a funnel. He turned on the propane, lit that funnel. Let me just tell you, you want to see blowing into a furnace? That was a moment. I thought I should have taken a videotape of this because I could use it in a sermon. That man turned on that propane tank and I dropped my mouth and I thought to myself, I need one of those. The fire came out of that and you could hear it. And you could just see him putting it on these big logs. And after a bit, the logs caught. Because there's so much fire coming out of that propane tank. This thing kind of ignited, and I thought, there it is. He blew as in blowing into a furnace. You have a godly furnace fire going on here, and life is being poured into Adam, and life is being given to Adam. It reminds me of what it says in Psalm 139, verse 4. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, Rachel, I just threw you off a little bit. Can you give me the Genesis verse again? The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground, and then he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, that burning furnace thing. And then it says this, the man became a living being. He had life poured into him. You see what God does for you? Do you see what he wants to do to you? Do you see this? God wants to pour life into you. He wants to pour it. I just think that's a great picture. He just wants to dump life into you. So what it says in Psalm 139, that you are fearfully, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. God designed you to celebrate life. That's what he wishes for you. Psalm 36, verse 9 says it this way, for with you is the fountain of life. And Proverbs 8 says, for whoever finds me finds life. Do you see what followers of Jesus believe? Followers of Jesus believe that life isn't just arbitrary, that in biology sperm hits egg and then there's a little being and then one of you pop out. We don't believe that's random. We believe that God's hand is there in your creation, and God's hand knows you So that when it says in the Gospels that he knows even the very hairs of your head, that's like saying he's right in your face. And God crafted you not as a mistake, not as a burden, but as a joy. And he wishes you as his joy to have a long and good life. Lord Byron, anybody heard of Lord Byron? Okay, four of us. Lord Byron is a very, very, this is what's going to happen, guys. Lord Byron is a very, 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 and I say unto you, very famous English poet. So have you heard of Lord Byron? All of you put your hand up. Yeah, you've heard of Lord Byron. And you probably took him in an English class at one point and had to read some of his poetry. Lord Byron grew up in England in the late 1700s into the early 1800s. He grew up as privileged, remember, Lord title, but not Lord like Yahweh, just Lord of privilege. He attended Cambridge, pinnacle school of English aristocracy. He traveled to Italy and spent a good chunk of his life in Italy, and he ultimately died in Greece at the age of 36. One writer described Lord Byron this way: Lord Byron, young, beautiful, nobly born, gifted, admired, gave himself up to the lusts of the flesh. Was it pleasure? See, Lord Byron was not a moral man. He was well known for living a life of privilege and a life of immorality. But listen to what Byron says, this self-absorbed man. Listen to what he wrote on his 33rd birthday, just before, 3 years before his death. Through life's dull road, so dim and dirty, I have dragged to 33. What have these years left to me? Nothing except 33. Did he see life as full? Did he see life as a celebration? The self-absorbed man? Despite his privilege and his wealth, he saw no value in the life given to him. In fact, he found life, as you see in the poem there, he found life to be emptying, and he found life to be lacking any depth of value. And he was a man in his day. His poetry did sell, and he was quite popular. But even with all of that celebrity status, he had to come back to the fact it's just 33 years. Sometimes I wonder, you and I, if we kind of walk through life and we feel the same way, that it's just another year, just another day. And we can wonder what value life really has to us. We know that's true. The data tells us that. The research tells us that in America, with the highest levels of stress and anxiety that we've seen pre-pandemic and then pandemic, most notably among the young and their teens to their 20s, maybe you've said something like this: if God is the creator and gave this life, really, this is it? That's the same thing as the Byron poem. If God is the creator, Pastor Dan, if you tell me God created me and he breathed life into me like a furnace, this is it? This is all it is? We can get ourselves stuck and not see the gift of life around us. We cannot see it. We can be blinded to it. All the goodness that God wishes and intends to pour upon us, we can lose. And the world out there, which is bent on self-absorption, y'all hear this? It is bent on self-absorption. It is built on narcissism, which is pure selfishness. And when you look at the world around us with that kind of an attitude, do you see a world then that would be empty and lost and do what Byron said? Well, it's just another 33. Yes, absolutely. That's the world we live in. And it keeps fighting for identity. It keeps fighting for recognition. It keeps fighting for a sense of purpose. But it does that in all the wrong places. So what do I wish of us here? I certainly want us to be a people of hope. I want us to be a people of celebration. I want us to realize that we are God's joy. People who speak hope in a broken world, man, they're cherished. They're celebrated. Just look at the great leaders of our history. Those who spoke hope and possibility and vision, the dreamers, they come under wonderful recognition. And they become the driving force in the culture. By the way, many of them, not all of them, but many of them were followers of Christ. I put on Facebook this week, I asked this question, and then I put it in my e-news. I asked this question, what makes your life full? Just tell me some of the things that makes your life full. And a couple of you responded. One of you wrote and said, what makes my life full is that we have been blessed not only with two children, but six healthy and wonderful grandchildren. I thank God for them every day. I thank God for them every day. Another person wrote this, a fairly long quote. My life is made full by the things that take my breath away. The beauty and love of my family and my God. And the beauty of my surroundings. It happens nearly every morning when I look out of my front window and consider the grace of God. That not only soundly provides for my eternal well-being, but surrounds me with the simplest of aesthetic pleasures. My eyes get to see them. My ears get to hear. My lips to taste them. My fingers to touch them. And my soul to rest in them. Isn't that a great quote? The wonderful quote about the fullness of life that God wants to grant His creation. And He wants us to live in it and to love it because He gave it to us. So amazing then is Yeshua. Yeshua is the Hebrew name for Jesus. Say Yeshua. Jesus, Yeshua, came out and He was made as we were made. He came out of dust. He lives among us. And He says in John chapter 6, our gospel that Duane read a few minutes ago, I am the bread of life. And bread sustains us, and good bread is really wonderful to eat. For the bread, it says in John chapter 6, for the bread of God is He who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. God redeems us from the world that collapsed into survival with sin in Genesis 3 when the whole world imploded. God didn't give up on His creation. He had breathed life into them. Does God give up on His children? Never. Even when they reject Him, even when they walk away from Him, God does not abandon His children. John chapter 10:10 says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And John 14:6, the very famous verse, I am the way, Jesus says, the truth and the life. And in John chapter 20, Jesus says, and with that, Jesus, John writes, Jesus breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Guess what? The receiving the Holy Spirit is the same language as Genesis 2 when God breathed life into mankind. We come full circle in Jesus. From the dust of the ground to the cross and the resurrection. Life given because God wishes us to live full, and here's another one we all wrestle with, content lives. Jesus is certainly about full lives, complete lives, celebrated lives. He wants us to live it. As I thought about this message this week, the thing that I kept thinking about for us who are in the church is how do we give life to those around us? Kept thinking about that. How do we give life? We can do that. We can pour life into others. Certainly, we as parents can pour life into our kids. And now I'm a grandpa, so I can pour life into my little Flinny. And I can celebrate her so she knows that she's loved. My girls are loved. Their husbands are loved. You are loved. And we can each give life to each other because God granted us life, so we can give life. Today is Father's Day. I was watching the news. I watch too much news, by the way. But I was watching the news just before I came to church today. I was eating my morning omelet. Every morning I make an omelet. Mushrooms, shrimp, and onions. And then I eat my omelet watching the news. And today Bill Bennett was being interviewed, a well-known leader from years past. And they asked him about Father's Day. This is what Bill Bennett said. They said, "What do you think? What message would you give America about Father's Day?" And he said, "You know what? Fathers matter. Fathers matter." That spoke to me. Fathers matter. You have a value. Some of you don't have biological children. And so when it's Father's Day, that can really be an ache because you don't have kids. Sometimes we're estranged from our children. Stuff happens. Remember, we live in this world of division. And when it's Father's Day and Mother's Day, we can feel a loss. But you matter. Fathers matter. Some of you who don't have kids, but I'm going to tell you this, biological kids, but I know a bunch of you have spiritual kids. You have people that you've been able to impact with your life and touch with your life. And you've been able to speak into their life. And those spiritual children are different because of you. Fathers matter. So what do I want you to do this day and tomorrow? I want all of us to consider this question. How do you give life? How do you give life? For Jesus, the God of the earth, created you and put burning life into you. God himself came and redeemed us and gave his life for us and resurrected from the dead so you might have life forever. So you and I get the privilege, not a burden, but the privilege of pouring life into other people around us. In Christ's name, amen? Amen. Amen. Let's rise and let's do the confession of sins. Confession of faith. We already did a confession of sins. I believe.